لا ترجعون. صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, in the verse that I've recited before you, Allah asks a question. Allah asks that, O men, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. Do you think that you have been created in vain, with no higher purpose in life? Is this creation a futile creation where you are born to die and death is the end of your existence? Now, in this question, Allah reaffirms a very fundamental message of Islam. And that is, we have been created for a higher purpose. And the pain, the suffering, the hardships, the sicknesses, the disappointments, the breakdown in relationships, all of this is not in vain. All of this has a meaning. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens by accident. Everything happens by design and for a purpose. Allah in the Quran says, وَبَلَوْنَاهُمْ بالحسنات والسيئات, that we test them by putting them into circumstances of prosperity and adversity. We can well understand circumstances of adversity. It is hardship which allows us to grow. It is through hardship we learn the lessons of resolve. It is through hardship that we learn the lessons of patience, of determination, of humility, of persistence. But Allah says, we do not only test you by putting you into difficult circumstances, we also test you by blessing you with prosperity. And it is this prosperity. How is prosperity a test for us? Now, there is a famous saying that if adversity can bring out the man in you, prosperity can bring out the beast in you. If you do not respond correctly, prosperity can make a person arrogant, selfish, conceited, make him a coward, makes him impatient. So Allah says, we bless you, we test humanity through both these circumstances, through adversity, through pain, through sickness, through disappointments, through stress, tension, etc. And on the other hand, we also test people, giving them power, giving them fame, giving them wealth, giving them health. So how do we, as Muslims, explain this disparity in life? Why are some people crying and others laughing? Why are some people healthy and others in pain? Why are some people oppressing and others victims of brutal oppression? How do we explain this? Now, the question that Allah asks in the first part of the verse is linked to a comment in the second part, where Allah says, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. That do you think you've been created in vain? Is this a life simply where we are born to die after 50, 60, and 70 years? Or is there a higher purpose? And then Allah says, وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Do you think that you are not going to be returned to us? In other words, do you accept that there is life after death? Do you believe in the hereafter? And it is this belief in the hereafter that is the central part of our aqidah, of our belief system. It is this belief that gives us a correct perspective of what happens in our lives. It is belief in the hereafter that enables us to persevere. It is belief in the hereafter that enables us and empowers us to continue toiling and struggling. It is belief in the hereafter that forms and shapes our values as as Muslims. So this, when Allah talks about the Quran, right at the beginning, He says, Hudallil Muttaqeen, that this book will serve as a source of guidance for those who are conscious of Allah. And then Allah goes on to explain who are those that are conscious of Him. Those that believe, yu'minuna bil ghaib. Those that believe in the unseen. And the verse ends, wahum bil akhira, and they are those who are convinced of life after death. So our entire life revolves on the principle and the basis of a higher existence, and that is life after death. And belief in the hereafter helps us to understand the highs and lows in life. It enables us to accept our circumstances because we know it is not in vain. It inspires us and enables us to be patient, to be tolerant. It motivates us to act with resolve in the belief that whatever happens in our lives is not in vain. We will be rewarded for our patience. We will be rewarded in the year after. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a hadith says, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, that how strange and how astonishing, how amazing are the circumstances of believers. And this is for none other except for believers. In times of prosperity, he is grateful and that is best for him. And in times of hardship, he is patient and that is best for him. In other words, this cycle of adversity and prosperity, of health and sickness, of elation and disappointment, revolves around these two central pillars of gratitude and patience. And it is these two pillars of gratitude and patience that would determine our outlook in life, that would determine how we fare in the court of Allah, whether we'll be punished or rewarded. So The fact that we believe in the hereafter, in reward and punishment, in paradise and hell, serves as the cardinal basis, the platform through which we understand why some people are crying and others are laughing, why some are prosperous and while others are in a state of anxiety, why some are oppressing and others are victims of oppression. Fadl ibn Sahal says that we should know and understand that there is a blessing in every calamity. The reward that the wise man should not ignore. For it erases sins. It gives one the opportunity to attain reward for patience. It dispels negligence, reminds one of the blessings at the time of health. It calls one to repent and encourages one to give charity. So when we are going through hardship, difficulty, pain, disappointment, it is a means of bringing out the metal in us, the human in us, the power in us, the endurance in us. And all this is connected to the hereafter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam once told the Sahaba that the example of this world compared to the hereafter is the example of a person who immerses his finger in the ocean. Falyanzur, let him see the amount, the quantity of water that comes out on his finger in relation to the ocean. Implying that the time span in this world is no more than that drop on your finger compared to the boundless ocean. And our experiences during this one drop will be rewarded in the everlasting and boundless ocean of the hereafter. So when we talk about Muslims' belief in the hereafter, it is extremely empowering. It is extremely enabling. It gives us the capacity to view what happens in our lives in the correct perspective, because we know it is not in vain. We know it does not happen by chance. We know that, as Allah says, كَانَ سَعْيُكُمْ مَشْكُورًا, that all your efforts, your toil is appreciated by Allah, is known to Allah. Allah hears your cries. Allah is aware of your tears, and Allah fully knows your pleas. So nothing happens in vain. Also, it is our belief in the hereafter that enables us to work positively. It gives us the capacity to be compassionate, to be caring, to think of others. As Allah refers to this class of people in the Quran, where He says that إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ, that we feed you purely for the sake of Allah. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا, we want no reward or thanks from you. These are people whose hearts are connected to the hereafter. They are inspired to act in the interest of society. They are inspired to uplift society. They are motivated to make a difference in the lives of people around them because of the belief in the hereafter, because of the desire to earn the countenance and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah refers to this selfless characteristic of the Sahaba, where he says, يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, that these were a group of people that preferred others above themselves, وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً, even though poverty became their lot. They shared the bare little that they had, not because they did not need it, because of their belief in the hereafter. You know the famous incident during the Battle of Badr, where several of the martyrs were on their deathbed, crying out for water, and one person brings water. And as this person is about to drink the water, he hears someone else saying, "Water, please." And this person, who is on his deathbed, says to the person serving him the water, "Give it to my neighbor. He is more in need of it." This kind of selflessness in the Ummah, how did it develop? Where did it come from? What motivated people to give the little they had and be content with their poverty? It was the belief in the hereafter. It was the belief that we will be rewarded. And it is the same belief that should help us become tolerant of each other. This same belief that should enable us to bear the shortcomings of other people in the conviction that we will be rewarded for our humility, our tolerance, and our sacrifices. If there was no hereafter, then it would be impossible to explain the disparities that we see in life. There are people who continue oppressing, who continue stealing, who continue undermining other human beings with impunity, and it seems that they get away with it. And there are others who are upright, virtuous human beings who seem to be at the other end of the stick, suffering, humiliated, disgraced. Where will this justice take place? And therefore, the hereafter is called the great leveler, where the oppressor and the oppressed will be leveled, where justice will be meted out. So it is this sense of accountability, this belief in the hereafter, that we are going to stand in the court of Allah, that should motivate us to be upright, to be just, to be fair. And it is this belief that gives us hope when we become victims of circumstances, that despite what is happening to us, justice will take place. Life is not in vain. And in the same way, Aisha radiallahu anha said, for every pain, every time we go through a disappointment, through a hardship, it is an expiation of our sins. Again, this is related to the hereafter, that it enables us to bear, to tolerate hardship in the belief that it is not in vain. It is a process of cleansing. It is cleansing us. And in the same way, it is our belief in the hereafter that enables us to deal with the loss of near and dear ones. We grow up into the family, we have parents, we have children, we have spouses, and suddenly Allah takes them away. But as Muslims, we have the satisfaction of knowing that that separation is temporary. We have the satisfaction of knowing that we will be apart from each other for that period of that drop of water on our fingers, but we'll be reunited in the year after and live as boundlessly together as the oceans. So, belief in the year after is a very fundamental creed of a believer. It is not a detached belief that someday we're going to come out of our graves and be questioned. It regulates every aspect of our lives in this world. It helps us develop our values. It enables us to respond appropriately, and it gives us enormous hope in the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.